Danica, thank you so much for joining 2SER this morning. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. Thanks so much for the invitation, for having me on.
Yeah. Now, look, can you tell us how you got into ceramics?
Oh, how I got into it. It was actually a bit of an accident. I've always been an artist. I've always been loving crafting and painting. But it wasn't until university where I came across ceramics, because all the painting classes I took were full. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to try something else out. And discovered clay for the first time in the pottery wheel, and was instantly hooked. And all of my old teachers were completely destroyed and upset with me, because they're like, how dare you take a craft instead of an art form? In hyphens there. But so I was trying to really, especially at university, I was trying to make a name for myself as someone who didn't necessarily make functional pieces but explored all different things. And, been hooked ever since and never looked back.
Oh, so you went to the dark side against your lecturers, which is.
No, I did. But, funny enough, I've started going back, and I now obviously draw and carve on my work. So I've incorporated a lot of my older styles back into my pieces now as well. So I used to do landscape painting, and I suppose in a way I've kind of gone back into that now, and I just use ceramics and the vessel form as my canvas now instead of what I was before.
And can you describe your style for us? I think that's a lovely segue of moving into this question. So can you describe exactly kind of the types of works that you do?
So my work is really highly decorative. I explore Australian native flora and fauna and things that surround me, and everything that's, I suppose a lot of things are disappearing now in a natural world as well. So I also focus on that in a couple of my exhibition pieces too. My work is mainly predominantly done on the pottery wheels. I use porcelain clay and I throw my vessels, and then I carve and draw and inscribe and sgraffito carve into my pieces to just everything to do with stylized designs and Australian designs, really.
Yep. And what, when you say throw, what does that mean for all of us non-artish people?
Yeah, of course. So wheel throwing on the pottery wheel. So, luckily these days we have electric wheels, which is great, not like back in the olden days where you had the kick wheels and everything else we used to use thousands of years ago. But, I have an electric wheel, and I grab a piece of clay, put it on the wheel, and I can throw my vessels into different forms.
Oh, that's awesome. And where do you get your inspiration from?
Nature, everything that's around me. I'm really lucky. I live sort of in the Perth Hills in Western Australia, and I'm surrounded by bushland and birds and willy wagtails, and little wrens are always constantly out my windows. I've got kangaroos pretty much down the road. So I'm really fortunate being surrounded by bushland. So my work is all about Australian flora and fauna, and then I also explore endangered and threatened Western Australian flora as well.
Oh, beautiful. That's a real that's a lovely kind of angle to have to your work. Have you found people are very receptive, or they notice it?
Oh, for sure. And I think my style's changed a lot over the years, and this particular range or collection of work has been really popular, and I suppose it goes overseas a lot. So I'm quite fortunate in the sense that I suppose, it's one of those things that a lot of people collect and gift overseas as well. So, yeah.
And when did you start calling yourself an artist?
So I've always been creative. As a kid, I always liked to collect different things and make different artworks. And I suppose you can't really call them artworks as a child, or maybe you can, but I was always creative. But it wasn't until university that I could probably call myself a ceramic artist. And that's when I suppose I changed direction from painting to ceramics, and really had to start thinking about what I wanted to do with my own work. I think that was also the time when I started working with another artist and a web designer, and started looking at my business name and my website and all of that sort of stuff. So I was like, okay, I kind of have to now decide what am I and who am I. So that's probably back in 2006, I would say, that's probably when I first decided to call myself an artist, a ceramic artist.
And how do you find managing the sort of business element to marketing a product, selling a product, you know, that aspect of your life? How do you find balancing that with your creative and the actual production of creative works?
Yeah, I love to work. I'm a bit of an addict of multitasking, I think. I want to do it all and I don't sit still for very long, let's just say. So I think to try and juggle it all, I think I've been lucky because it did take a long time for my ceramics to take off, I suppose, especially being something that you can't hang on a wall. I find that it's harder to sell sometimes, especially when you're not making necessarily functional pieces or everyday homewares. So it did take a little while, and I've been fortunate enough to have collectors and galleries and boutique shops and stuff like that to take my work on wholesale. So that means that I don't necessarily have to do all of that work. I mean, yes, they, you know, take their commission too, but that means they do a lot of the advertising and selling for me. So yeah, I have an online platform, I have an online shop and a website, and that does take a lot of time. And especially nowadays, I think that's become really important with everything that's going on. Keep that afloat is hard, especially because I'm a mom and I have two kids. It's trying to find those 5-minute breaks in between to quickly do a little post or edit a video that sort of stuff in between all of my studio work can be a little bit challenging, but luckily I love what I do, so I just make time for it.
I feel like ceramics is kind of coming back into the forefront here in Australia as a collectible or even as an, you know, an on-trend piece. Like I would have said a couple of years ago, I probably would have, when I think of ceramics or potters, I think of like kind of heavier earthy tones, chunky pieces, you know, chunky kind of cups. Not necessarily, you create very fine works, and I'm starting to see a real trend in ceramicists and artist ceramicists creating really fine refined pieces, and I think it's beautiful to see it coming on the market and to seeing people starting to appreciate that.
Yeah, I feel so fortunate that that's actually happened and that trend has changed. I suppose I was really fortunate, even at university, I had great lecturers and teachers. And being where I was, that was quite hard. Being a lot of universities and TAFEs and schools have shut down a lot of the art degrees, I suppose. But I was really lucky. I had a great teacher and she really encouraged me, and her main medium, so this is Alana McVeigh, was porcelain clay. So she threw really thin white vessels, and that's where I first, I suppose, got the inspiration to go towards that aesthetic. And I used to make really translucent pieces. So again, I said my style's changed a lot over the years and it took me a while to find my own thing, but I love that refined form. I love the translucency and the whiteness of porcelain clay and just the meditative qualities that come with wheel throwing pieces. So Even the I suppose the old school stuff and the wood firing, all of that is coming back in now as well. So yeah, it's great. I love it.
Yeah, it's a good time to be a ceramicist, I think.
Yeah, and the great thing is like people are also starting to appreciate handmade because they're starting to do little workshops. So I often find, because I'm a teacher too, so often people come and they do a workshop or a class and they're like, wow, I really appreciate what you do now. And I've heard that a lot from people in all different sort of artistic realms, where then students have come back and gone, yeah, I gave that a go. That was hard work. I understand now what you're doing and I love it. So I suppose that's a really great thing as well, that handmade is becoming appreciative and people are going back and trying to have a go of doing these things for themselves as well, which is really exciting.
Can you remember the first piece you sold?
Okay. So this was at university and I was part of a little exhibition that a couple of our colleagues had gotten together. So we titled it Shit Hot Pots. And that was, those were the days. Hey, and I just remember my lecturer coming up to me and going, yeah, I really love these little pieces that you've made. I'm like, what? They're my testers. They're not even for the exhibition. He's like, no, they're great. You're going to have to put some of them in. So I just remember they were tiny little test vessels that I'd made that were only a couple of centimetres high, and I'd been experimenting with different volcano and coral glazes all over them. So, yeah, and he loved them, and he bought them for like $50 for a little set, and I was like, okay, I'm onto something, maybe. This is cool.
Yes.
But I kind of found it a bit embarrassing too, because they weren't really my finished pieces, but, yeah, I do remember that.
You should have been like, if you think these are good, wait till you see. Like, yeah. Can you tell us about a favourite piece that you've created?
You know, it sounds strange, but my favourite pieces are probably the ones that I'm working on at the moment. So I just like the idea of what they're going to become when they're finished, and trying to envisage what's going to happen to them throughout the course of the making and all of the different processes that they go through. So I'd say it's probably one of the larger exhibition pieces that I'm working on. But, I mean, I do have favourites, and strangely it's probably the stuff that I'm no longer making anymore. I suppose I'm drawn to it because there's part of me that wants to go back into exploring what I used to do in a new way. So I still hang on to a couple of older pieces. They're up in my studio at the moment. I used to have price tags on them. I've taken them all off. I'm like, no, they're
mine. They're not for sale anymore.
I kind of attached.
Are they a different shape? Are they a different colour? How are they distinguishable from what you're kind of working on now?
Yeah, so I've got one particular one that is really, really translucent. So I made it like, I don't know, less than a millimetre thin, and I don't know how I had the patience to throw such thin, delicate pieces back then, but I did. And then I used to put something on called shellac, which is a type of paint, I suppose. We used to joke that it was made out of cockroach wings. That's kind of what it looks like. That's kind of a gross thing, though. So it's synthetic now, but we'd paint that on, and then you wipe it back, and all of these different patterns emerge from it. So that's one of the pieces, and it's really white, and it's got a light inside it as well. So there's that
one. Beautiful.
And then I've also got another one, which is, so I used to make pieces which were wheel thrown and then completely altered and carved. And so what I mean by altered is the shape was then changed. So it was, I suppose, like put a lot of movement into it and reformed into almost like a flower type shape. So I used to double throw vessels. So that means instead of just having one cylinder, I'd have two or three within one another. And then I'd reshape them and carve them and then spray glaze them. So yeah, I miss spray glazing and altering forms and carving, but you know, I can't do it all right now. So I've got to focus on one thing at a time.
And what do you do to get out of a creative funk?
I don't have any of them. I don't know what that is. I just love to make. I'm always making. I'm always exploring different things. If anything, I don't have enough time to I suppose, create everything that I want to do. So, yeah.
That is awesome. I love that.
Always full of ideas I want to create. Yeah, it's great.
Who's your biggest fan?
I'd say my parents. Yeah, they don't let me throw out any of my dud pieces. They're hilarious. They're like, no, it's great. It's just a tiny little crack. I'll take that. I'm like, oh, it's a bit embarrassing. Please don't show your friends.
Please don't tell anyone I made that.
Yeah, no, not what I want to be remembered as. But, yeah, they've got all sorts of things in their gardens and filled with plants and all the rest. But, yeah, I'd say they're probably my biggest fan.
Yeah, and who's your biggest critic?
Yeah, that would be me. Yeah. Like I said, I'm a bit of a perfectionist. So it's hard. I used to have studio buddies. I used to share my studio with different artists, and that was easier because I'd be able to bounce ideas around. But now it's just me and all my ideas. So yeah.
I was about to ask you, how do you know when a piece is done? But I guess for you, is it when it goes in the kiln?
So many steps, I suppose, just to explain a little bit. So I create my pieces on the pottery wheel, and then I turn them over and I trim the base of my work, and then I let them dry just a little bit until they're leather hard. So I'm able to put them away in something I call humidors or damp boxes, so I can store them for a period of time without them completely drying out. So then I carve my work, So there's a little bit of work involved just in there. So it's, a lot of the time I sketch my ideas first. And I have something that I'm working towards, whether it's a series or just a particular commission or work that I've got in mind. So once the carving's done, it gets cleaned up, it gets fired for about 2 days in the kiln to 1,060 degrees Celsius. Then it comes out and gets sanded with wet and dry sandpaper and cleaned up. Then it gets glazed. And then I go and wipe all the colours back so that the glaze just highlights inside the carvings. And then I go back through with a paintbrush and highlight all the bits that I want and add extra colours. And then I glaze the inside of the vessel as well. And then it goes back into the kiln to 1280 to 1300 degrees. Then comes out after another couple of days. And then it gets sanded and polished and inspected and photographed and weighed and all the rest of that sort of stuff as well. So there's a bit of process. So how do I know when it's finished? Yeah. And they don't always work out, right? And they shrink by about 15 to 20% in the kiln as well. So what you put in doesn't necessarily come out looking the same. The colours change. So it's a bit of a visualization process, I suppose. But I don't know. I still find I have to stop and look at pieces, but I suppose when I know it's done, it's mainly in the carving stage where I have to try not to overwork things and the glazing, so I just have to put it aside and look from afar and come back to it sometimes and try and picture what it's going to look like after all of the steps.
So there's days and days involved in, let's say, a small vase about the size of your hand that's been carved and is coloured and
yeah that's right. So a piece, I mean, it might take me an hour to make, say, a small vase or a small mug, but it's over the course of 2 or 3 weeks, and the larger pieces can take several months because I have to dry them out so slowly, because porcelain clay is just, yeah, it just doesn't like air and being exposed to heat and cold and humidity and all of that sort of stuff, so I have to really dry it out quite slowly, so yeah, it can take a while.
Wow. And last question, what are you working on at the moment?
Well, apart from being a mum to a little newborn and my toddler at the moment, I'd have to take a little bit of a break, but I've still got ideas, and I've got a show coming up which is called Inside an Artist Studio. But that's online, and that's going to be at the Studio Gallery in Yelling Up in WA. And that's a group show with, I think it's 20, 21 artists. So, yeah, I'm making a video to promote my work for that, and that's in July. And then I've got another exhibition coming up later this year, and then another one next year. Look at that, I'm already planning for next year.
I was going to say, oh, my God, you were like, you were already into like 2021, and you've got the 6-week-old baby and a 2.5-year-old as well. Oh my God, I love it.
I suppose that's one of those things. I'm like, come June, I'm already planning everything for December, because just turnaround sometimes takes a while. So I just have to start a few months in advance, especially with my larger pieces.
Danica, thank you so much for your time today. Really appreciate it. And all the best with working through this period of a little one, a really, really little one, and navigating COVID as well. It's definitely an interesting time.
Yeah, it is. It is. But I think things are looking up, and people, especially who have been locked in their houses, are going to be itching to get creative and see some awesome work out there in the world. So let's hope that's the case anyway.
They absolutely are. Danica, thank you so much for your time. Have a great afternoon.
Cheers. Thanks very much.